And I always enjoy going to preach where this family singing. They make me feel young. I like to be around young people. But then I realize how long I've been knowing them, and I feel old again. And they're a blessing. And I want to say this where they can hear me. What impresses me so much about it is they know the old songs and they like them. I was in a meeting the other day, and turned around and said to a young fellow, I said, give us a little bit of Just As I Am. He did not know Just As I Am. You ain't been to many Baptist churches if you don't know Just As I Am. And I appreciate it. I love your preacher sitting over here and his family. They're just a blessing. And every time I walk in this building, I'm just amazed how pretty this is. This is awesome. I want somebody to take my picture just so they'll know I've been here. Amen. And how the Lord's just brought all this together. I'll tell you, you just can't beat God. God is good. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, you're beautiful tonight. You really are. Beautiful. Now, turn back around and say, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean it. Let's see how that goes down on the front row. Yes, sir. Brother Ken, thank you so much for extending an invitation tonight. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. That's the place in your Bible where all the pages are still stuck together. Nobody reads much out of 1 Corinthians 16. But I was reading here the other day, and boy, I saw something that's just got my nerves tore up, and I want to share it with you. Not only do I love the Bible and believe it because it is true, inerrant, it's inspired, it's perfect, but I also love it because it is beautiful. The language of this Bible is absolutely beautiful. The most beautiful language, I believe, on planet Earth is found in the pages of our Bible. I mean, you think about it. You can't get much more beautiful than this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. How that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Man, that's beautiful. You're not going to improve on, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, that's pretty, ain't it? What about this? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Boy, ain't that pretty? And what about this one right here? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, the Word of God is beautiful. Well, in chapter number 16 tonight, in verse number 6, there is a little phrase that I'd never seen before. And it's not only true, it's not only beautiful, but it really blessed my heart. And I want us to read this verse together, and then I want to emphasize this little phrase. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 6, Paul says to the Corinthian believers, and it may be that I will abide and yea and winter with you. And here's the phrase, that ye may bring me on my journey, whithersoever I go. I want you to say that little phrase out loud with me, that ye may bring me on my journey. Say that with me again, that ye may bring me on my journey. I want you to be seated tonight, and I want to preach from that verse, that phrase, that ye may bring me upon my journey. Notice he didn't say that you may push me. You may drive me, you may force me, not even lead me, but you may bring me upon my journey. That little phrase, bring me, was a guide's term. It is the word picture of a guide who has a traveler by the arm and hand. And he is leading him to where he has never been. But he's not leading and pushing and pulling. He's literally got him by the hand, walking with him, making sure that he reaches his destination. And Paul tells these Corinthian believers that God has put you in my life. Not that you may push me and drag me and drive me, but to take me by the heart and hand and walk with me and bring me upon my journey. You know, tonight, if you're bringing somebody on their journey, you get to go too. And if you're bringing somebody on their journey, you're going to go to the same place that they're going. And I want to thank God tonight for every person in my life that God has placed. Not to push me and drag me and beat me, but to take me by the heart and hand and bring me upon my journey. Every time I read this and get that word picture, I think about the poem all of us grew up listening to about the two footprints in the sand. How the man died and went to heaven and looked back over his life and there were two sets of footprints. And he says to the Lord, he says, why do I have two sets of footprints? And the Lord said, one is yours and one is mine, my child. I have walked with you all of the days of your life. But he noticed when he came to a dark place, when he came to a difficult place, there was only one set. And said he looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, why in the dark place, why in the difficult place did you leave me? Lord, why did you forsake me when I needed you the most? Why are there just one set of footprints? And the Lord said to the man, my child, that one set of footprints that you see, they're not yours, they're mine. That's when you were so weak, you couldn't make it on your own, so I picked you up, amen, and I carried you through. Aren't you glad for the people in your life that God has sent to take you by the arm and soul and heart and hand and bring you upon your journey? Now notice who was saying this tonight, the Apostle Paul. And when you think about Paul, there are three things that come to my mind. Number one, that was a trial that he had to face. Here is a man that knew what trouble was. He knew what discouragement was. He knew what difficulty was. But yet he could say at the end of his ministry, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. He did not quit. He did not turn back. He did not jump over the fence. He finished his course because in the midst of his trials, God put somebody in his life not to drag him and push him and pull him, but take him by the heart and hand and bring him upon his journey. There were trials that he had to face. I think about Paul, and there was a task that he had to finish. Here is a man that God had called. Here is a man that God had saved. Here is a man that's going to make missionary journeys. Here is a man that's going to give the rest of his life to preaching the gospel and winning the lost. Man, he had a calling upon him. He had a burden upon him. God gave him an awesome ministry. But Paul realizes, I can't do my ministry. I can't fulfill my calling. I can't live up to what God's given me to do by myself because the mountains are too high and the rivers are too wide and the burdens are too heavy and the needs are too great. He said, so God put people in my life not to push me and pull me, but to take me by the arm arm and heart and hand, and bring me upon my journey to help me fulfill the calling of God that was in my life. I thank God for every person that God put in my life to help me fulfill my divine appointment in life. They brought me upon my journey. That was a trial he had to face. That was a task that he had to finish. But when you think about Paul, that was a thorn that he had to fight. And that thorn in Paul's flesh was a real thorn. It was not a figment of his imagination. It was a real thorn, and it was a painful thorn, and it was something that was placed there by the divine sovereign plan of Almighty God. And Paul prayed for God to remove that thorn, and God says, Paul, you don't need for me to remove the thorn. What you need for me to do is to show you that when you're weak, you can be so strong. And someone said, that doesn't make sense. No, to the natural mind, it doesn't make any sense. To be weak, but yet you're strong. I want to tell you tonight what it means is when we're weak in our strength, we're strong in God's strength. And when we're weak in our wisdom, we're strong in God's wisdom. When we don't have the ability or the power to accomplish the purpose of life, God's grace is sufficient. God's power is made perfect in weakness. And all of us have thorns in our flesh and problems and troubles and trials. But yet we're going to make it. We're going to reach the destination because we're not abandoned. We're not forsaken. We're not alone. God has put people in our life to take us by the arm and hand and might push us and pull us, but to bring us upon our journey. None of us are here tonight by ourselves. God has used somebody in our life to bring us on our journey. I'd like to call Paul down tonight from heaven. I'd like to set Paul right here and interview him just a minute. And say, Paul, I'd like to just talk to you, and I want you to go down memory lane just a minute. And Paul, when you made the statement that God would put people in your life to bring you upon your journey, did you have anybody particular in mind? Paul, who are the people in your life that God used to bring you upon your journey? I believe Paul would say, well, Brother Joe, I'll tell you, I really thank the Lord for this fellow by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas, who is that? Oh, Brother Joe, Barnabas, he's the son of consolation. He's Mr. Encourager. He's Mr. Glory Spell. Well, Paul, why do you like Barnabas so well? And I hear Paul say, well, Brother Joe, you must not be aware of my testimony. What do you mean by that, Brother Paul? Paul would say, Brother Joe, I've not always been the Apostle Paul. I've not always been Preacher Paul. In fact, man, I was a booger. I was a rat. I was a terrible, deplorable, awful sinner. In fact, according to one of my writings, I just wasn't a sinner. I was the chief of all the sinners. Brother Joe, I dedicated the first part of my life to stamp out Christianity in its infant stage. I broke up the meetings. I killed the preacher. I murdered the women and the boys and the girls. In fact, I wreaked havoc in that early church. I was a mean man. I was a vile man. I was a persecuting man. I killed Christians. I have the blood of innocent men and women and boys and girls dripping from my hand. I was a lost, deplorable, wretched sinner. I was an evil man. Just to mention my name brought fear to those early disciples. But oh, Brother Joe, one night on the Damascus Road, I had the papers in my hand to kill some more Christians and to break up some more churches. Oh, but something got a hold of me. A bright light shone down from heaven, and God knocked me off my high horses. I went by to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold of me. And he said, boy, I went down a sinner and came up a saint. I went down a persecutor and came up a preacher. I went down a critic and came up a champion. What happened to you, Paul? I got saved. I got rearranged. God changed my life. That's why I can really say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I stepped from the bottom to the top. I was born again, regenerated, washed in the blood, saved by the grace of God. God got a hold of me, and God changed my world. And Paul said, when I was a little baby Christian, they didn't want to have nothing to do with me. Our word got out that Saul of Tarsus had gotten saved. And all the Pharisees then at the local assembly said, I don't believe a word of that. I don't believe a word of that. And boy, they came back and said, hey, Saul of Tarsus is coming next Sunday morning. Brother Joe, the women began to cry. The little kids ran. Man, I had such a vile reputation. They didn't even open the doors of fellowship. The presbytery wouldn't even vote on me. Everybody was afraid of me. And they stayed arm's length from me. Oh, but one day I was in a praying place. And a knock came at the door. And I said, come in. And there stood a man by the name of Barnabas, the son of consolation. Brother Joe, he walked up to me. And he offered me the right hand of fellowship. He put his arm around me and said, come with me, young man. I'll show you how to pray. I'll show you how to live. I'll show you how to dress. I'll show you how to shout. I'll show you how to worship. I'll show you how to serve God. And Brother Joey took me down out of the church and said to all them other saints, hey, this man's been saved. This man's been born again. This man's encountered the grace of God, and the same grace that saved you has saved him, and the same blood that has washed you has washed him, and the same Holy Spirit that indwells you indwells him. Receive him as a friend. Receive him as a brother. God's going to use this man in our life. And Paul said, hey, I owe my spiritual life to Barnabas. I owe my ministry to Barnabas, because when I was a baby Christian and nobody really believed in me, he believed in me. God put him in my life when I was a baby believer, and he's brought me upon my journey. You say, what has that got to do with us? Man, I'm glad you asked. I bet there's people in this room tonight, you was a booger. You're like Paul. You was the chief of sinners. And when word got out that you had been saved, no way. No way. Billy Kelly said he got saved on a Saturday night. And said that next day one of his buddies run into him and said, hey, Red, I heard you got religion last night. He said, I don't know what I got, but it sure do feel good. He said, oh, it won't last. It won't last. You'll be back at the pool hall in 3 weeks. He said, I beat him. I was back in 3 days passing out gospel tracts. Oh, you remember when you first got saved? You was a baby Christian. You didn't know all about the Bible. You didn't know all about being a good Christian. You didn't know about living right, dressing right, tithing, praying, going to church. I mean, son, you was raw. You was like that blind man. Somebody said, would you kindly explain your religious experience? And the blind man said, here's my explanation. One thing I know, I once was blind, but now I see. You didn't know you had got regenerated. You didn't know you had got adopted. You didn't know you'd got son placed. You didn't know you got spirit baptized into the body. But you knew one thing. Somebody got a hold of you. Something changed in your life. And aren't you glad? When you was a baby Christian and an infant Christian, God put somebody in your life to pray with you and help you and encourage you. And they brought you upon your journey. Buddy, when God reaches down and saves some redneck, don't act like he ought to start acting like he's been saved for 40 years. Give him some time. and invest. I have a friend of mine that has this prayer meeting on Thursday. And I told him years ago, one day God's going to open your eyes and you're going to have it on Wednesday like they had it in the book of Acts. I said, what do you do on Wednesday? He said, we'll have visitation. I said, why do you have visitation on Wednesday? He said, you'll be surprised until we find home on Wednesday night. I said, I pastor a Baptist church. I won't be surprised till you find home on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Once Wednesday night, he's out knocking on doors. This old boy come to the door, looked like he fell on a tackle box. I mean, you look up redneck hellraiser in the dictionary, his picture would be beside of it. And he just got to talking to that old boy and quoting scripture, and that old boy got to squalling. He said, let me tell you something, son. He said, I love you, boy. And said he stopped and said, what did you say to me? He said, I love you, boy. He said, I'm going to tell you now, I ain't never had nobody tell me that before. He said, man, nobody ever told you? No, nobody's ever told me they loved me before. And he said, man, I got something better than that. There's a Savior that went to the cross and died for your sin, and He loves you more than anybody else loves you. And that man fell on his knees and got gloriously saved. By the grace of God. My friend said to him, said, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? He said, nothing. He said, man, we have service on Thursday night. He said, won't you come and get into church and I'll introduce you to church and man, follow the Lord in baptism. He said, I'll be there. And my friend said, to this day, I don't know what made me do that. I said to the guy, man, do you do anything? Have you got any talents? You know, can we use you in some way? He said, man, I'll tell you what, I play the guitar and sing. My friend said, boy, that's good. He said, you know any gospel songs? He said, well, I know that one about angels. Now look, if you grew up in the South and you tell somebody you play the guitar and sing and you know a gospel song about angels, automatically you think, oh, come angel band. That's a good song. My friend said, come on, boy. He said, man, I could hardly sleep that night. I thought, man, here's a guy I lead to Christ on Wednesday. We're going to baptize him. He's going to start serving God in our church on Thursday. Man, revival's going to break out. He said, all day Thursday, I could hardly wait. Finally come meeting that night. Man, he said, I got that boy up there in his guitar. He said, listen, folks, this little boy got saved last night. And he's going to play the guitar and sing one tonight. And as soon as he does, we're going to baptize him. He's going to join the church. Man, we're going to have us a time. He said, get up there and sing, boy. And so that old guy got that guitar, got that microphone, stroked that E chord. Man, and he began to sing. I didn't know God made honky-tonk angels. I might have known you'd never make a wife. And then he closed it out with a kiss a little angel. Good morning. Now don't you laugh, because I know you know the words of them songs. If you eat at Waffle House, you know the words to all of them songs. Man, my buddy jumped up and said, wrong song! Wrong song! Wrong song! He said, come here, boy. This is a hymn book. Let me teach you some song. Let me run ahead 25 years later. That young man pastors his own church and he's leading thousands of people to Jesus Christ. Yeah, he made a little mistake. He did make a little mistake. But that man of God in his life, instead of condemning him and judging him and browbeating him, he said, come here. Here's the way we go. Here's the way we go. And he brought him upon his journey. Boy, aren't you glad when you was baby Christian, you just got saved. You didn't know what you know tonight. You ain't been where you are tonight. But God put somebody in your life full of God and full of the Holy Ghost. And they invested in you. And they poured their life in you. And they helped you. You are what you are tonight because when you was a baby Christian, God put somebody in your life that brought you upon your journey. We just ought to be glad that he's still saving some young convert. And he brought him upon his journey. Some of us grew up in church. Our daddies was preachers, but a lot of people like Brother John with me tonight. The first one in his whole family to be saved. And when we got to realize there are some people, they've not grown up in church. They didn't cut their teeth on the back of hymn books and pews. They don't know nothing about God. They don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. They don't know nothing about Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or in church, out church, North Church, American Church, Southern Church. They don't know nothing. They just know this. They was on their way to hell, and praise God now, they're on their way to heaven, and we ought to find them and invest in them and pray with them and pour our life in them and bring them on their journey. And don't forget, when you're bringing somebody on their journey, you get to go too. Paul said, Barnabas was used of God to bring me upon my journey. Paul, I'd like to ask you, is there anybody else? Anybody particular comes to mind? And I believe Paul would say, yeah, Brother Joe, there's another man that's been a blessing to me, and his name is Onesiphorus. Brother Joe, I know you don't like saying that dignified word, so we're going to call him Brother O. I thank God for Brother O in my life. Paul, why do you like Onesiphorus? What did he do for you? He said, well, Joe, when I began to serve God and I began to preach, he said, man, the devil got to fighting. And said there were times they would arrest me and beat my back and, I mean, beat me beyond recognition and throw me into prison and throw me in jail. In fact, he said, son, I spent as much time in jail as I spent in the pulpit. I really had to suffer at times for the cause of Christ. He said, but what I thought, nobody cared. And when the devil would get on my back and tell me that it doesn't pay to serve God, I'd look through the bars and there would be a fellow by the name of Onesiphorus. What did he do, Paul? He said, well, number one, often. In other words, he was pretty faithful at it. I could really depend on Brother O. Well, what did he do for you, Paul? He said, before I tell you, let me tell you this about him. He was not ashamed of my chain. He wasn't ashamed to be identified with an old-time Christian. Can I clean off a spot just a minute? I want to thank every preacher, every believer, every church member down through these almost 40 years that's not been ashamed of me. The way I preach, how I preach, what I preach, and how I take my stand. I appreciate people not being ashamed of that. And I'm not ashamed of the preacher. I'm not ashamed of the church. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of the book. I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to shout about it a little bit. And by the way, you don't got anything to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm one of them. Well, Paul, what did he do because he wasn't ashamed? And what did he do that you could depend on? Paul said, here's why I love him. He often refreshed my spirit. Paul said he was a refreshment to me. Boy, I looked at that little word, refreshed my spirit. Listen to this word picture. It's like a ship that had been on a long voyage. And the supplies were getting low. And the sails were getting torn. Before they'd reach their destination, they would pull into what is called a haven of rest. Lord God, if I was so fat, I'd turn a cartwheel right there. And that ship would pull in to a haven of rest. And they would replenish the goods. They would replenish the supply. In other words, they would put on the ship everything they needed to make the rest of the trip. Refreshed my spirit. Lord, have mercy. Paul said, I've gone through some stormy gales, and sometimes the supply gets a little low and the sails get a little tattered. But every once in a while, I pull in to somebody's haven of encouragement and haven of joy and haven of blessing. And God will use them in my life to replenish my ship, give me what I need so I can make the rest of the journey. But aren't you glad there's been some times when you didn't think you could make it, but God would put somebody in your life to refresh your spirit, and they brought you upon your journey. They brought you upon their journey. Every time I read of it, Onesiphorus not being ashamed of Paul, I can't help it. I think of that fellow that used to trod through this part of the country, Paul Cornett. Y'all remember Brother Paul Cornett? I'm not being ugly, but he was about 4 foot tall and 6 foot wide. There was always one thing about him I was jealous of. He had the most beautiful head. Just awesome hair. Just, and I'll tell you, that's hard not to be jealous. You know, I've heard all them stories about bald is beautiful, but the only people who say that are bald-headed people. And I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a pretty bald-headed man. In fact, I want to go on record, I've never seen a pretty man of any kind. Can I get a witness right there? And old Paul had that old big curly hair. Paul had vision problems, and he had what I call them Coke bottle glasses. They were about that thick. And you know how some people get booked to go to a meeting to sing, and some people like you and I are privileged to get booked to go preach. Well, they would book Paul Cornett to come pray. And I preached him many a time in a pulpit, and he'd be off in a Sunday school room somewhere pleading the power of God. Now, Brother Paul would start out pretty dignified. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And that's as far as it went. And then he'd go, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is a real place. Where is it? It's above hallelujah. And I mean, son, he'd get all wild. Glory, glory, glory. I can see him now. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, if he was a dignified person, he'd embarrass you. I preached out here one night at noon in Georgia. After church, he come to me. He said, Brother Joe, why don't you and my wife and me and your wife go down to the IHOP? I said, that'd be fine with me. Friday night football in Noonan. Every redneck in Coweta County is at the IHOP. Packed! And finally get a place and we go back in the corner. This little gal comes over to take our order and she looks at us and she said, y'all preachers? I said, yes, ma'am. Brother Ken, that girl began to cry. She began to weep. She said, oh, pray for me. My daddy used to be a preacher. My daddy used to pastor a church in this city. But he ran off with a woman in the church and he abandoned me and my little brother and my mama. And my daddy's out in the world. He's backslid on God. And so that girl just began to weep. And Paul Cornett said, honey, would you like for Brother Paul to pray for you? And she said, oh, would you? And I think she meant, he meant, when he got home. He meant, right now. Now, if Joe Arthur was going to pray with somebody on a Friday night at IHOP, packed to the gills, I would do it like this. I would gently clasp her hand. And I'd put my handkerchief and I'd say, God bless this person in Christ's name. Amen. That's how I would do it. Some of you wouldn't even pray at all. But anyway, not Paul Cornett. You say, how did he pray? He prayed at IHOP like he did at the camp meeting. Oh God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory! Now, those of you who've never met my wife, this is going to blow your mind. She's totally opposite of me. I'm crash, redneck, country. She's... I told her the other day, we got in a little discussion the other day, and I told her, I said, bless God, I said, you'd have made a wonderful Presbyterian pastor's wife. And she said, I may, but I'm stuck with a loudmouth Baptist, so shut up. Well, you know my wife, she don't shout. I mean, she's just Miss Priff. And shut old Brother Cornette. Woo! Glory! Amen! Oh, I looked at her one eye. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That scriptural to keep one eye shut and one eye open. That's called watch and pray. And I looked, and son, Mrs. Arthur was blue and pink and yellow and white and red. You say, what was Brother Arthur doing? I was looking at the menu, getting to see what I wanted to order in a few minutes. Finally, he got through. And the hostess came over there and she said, excuse me, y'all gonna be here long? I said, why? We hadn't even ordered. I said, why? She said, there's a big party out here that needs this table. Brother Paul said, come on, Brother Joe, let's go. Bless God, they run me out of bars before I got saved. They might as well run me out of IHOP. And he left out there shouting and a praising God. Now listen, I don't know if I'm that bold. I'm not telling you you've got to be that bold, but I am glad there's been some people that were not ashamed of me. They were not ashamed of my suffering. They were not ashamed of my sin. They were not ashamed to be identified with me. And I'll tell you, that's been some long nights and some miserable days along the journey, fighting the devil, putting up the 40 feet of hell on both sides, and you get weak and you get tired, but the Holy Ghost gives you a little wind. Woo! And you pull into somebody's haven and they pour it on you, brother. They love you. They pray for you. They encourage you. They refresh your spirit. God, use them in your life to bring you upon your journey. Well, there's times when the load is heavy and the mountain is high. I guarantee there's been times you woke up on Sunday morning and if you'd have did what you wanted to do, you'd have rolled over and went back to bed. You may not have slept Monday night through Saturday night, but honey, Sunday morning, your insomnia is gone. And the devil's beat you over the head, wore you and your family out. And if you'd have did what that old flesh said, you'd have rolled over and went back to bed. Amen, but you got up and went because you were supposed to. And let me run a rabbit right here. There ain't nothing wrong with going to church because you're supposed to. Because if you go because you're supposed to, it won't be long and you get the feeling like you ought to. And then it won't be long you get the feeling like you want to. And you walk through those doors and you walk through that door. And it's like an old corn stalk that hadn't had any rain the whole month of July. Your fodder's done turned brown. Your tassels drooped over. And your stalk's all bent over. And man, you're just having a hard time. But whoo! Walk in the house of God and they'll begin to sing, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. More the songs of Zion are going to bubbling in your soul. And then they'll say, Brother so-and-so, pray for us. And he says, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and just the mention of his name, amen, you got them little bumps back, them joy bells up and down your spine. And then the preacher said, open your Bible. And he began to walk you down through the Word of God. And man, you left that service like you done got on the spout where the glory runs out. Honey, your tassel's back up, your fodder's green again, and you've got your little corn stalks, and man, you're not a drooping. You're waving toward the Creator saying, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, that all of us wouldn't have made it a long time ago, that God put somebody in our life to pray with us and encourage us and help us and refresh our spirit. They brought us on our journey. They brought us on our journey. The other day, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to do it. I pulled my wife off to the side. And I said, "Baby, I need to tell you something." She said, "What?" I said, "I wouldn't be nothing without you and God." I said, "I wouldn't have a church. I wouldn't have a traveling ministry. I wouldn't have his little kids and his grandkids. I wouldn't be where I am and have what I got. I know God didn't call you, but He called you for me. You hadn't griped at me and fussed at me and gotten everybody else's business, and you hadn't been a busybody, and you hadn't caused me a lot of grief. I've never had to apologize for the way you dress. I've never had to apologize for the way you look. I've never had to apologize for the way you treat people. I appreciate it, baby girl. You've been good to this old boy. You brought me upon my journey." Man, I thought she just bust out crying. Oh, she said, "You been up to something?" Man, that's how them women are. They'll talk about, "He don't ever talk to me, sweet. He don't ever tell me he loves me. He don't ever tell me he appreciates me. And when he does, you think he's been up to something." Boy, I'm talking to a preacher right here that feels the same way I feel. She's brought you. I put you in journey. Doc, I listen to some of the preachers that they talk to me and you, and what they have to live in, and what they have to put up with in their families. It's a wonder they got sense enough to get out of the shower rain. But I'm glad God's given me a family that brought me upon my journey. I appreciate the little church God's let me pastor for 33 years. No, we're not a mega church, and they don't do write-ups on us as the model church, and we're not the fanciest, the biggest thing in our town. But boy, we got some people in there that love their preacher and pray for their preacher and encourage their preacher and fight for their preacher. They brought us upon a journey. When I was sick, they were there. When my youngins was sick, they were there. When my wife was sick, they were there. When my daddy died, they were there. I found out something, buddy. You pour your life in somebody, and when it's your turn to weep, and it's your turn to hurt, and it's your turn to cry, hey, man, there'll be somebody pouring mercy and water into your life. We're not so forsaken tonight. We're not abandoned tonight. We're not alone tonight. We're a part of the family of God, the household of faith. Woo! That you may bring me on my journey. Lastly, Paul, is that it? You got anybody else, Paul? All them people you met, is there anybody else? And I see a tear come down Paul's eye. He said, "Joe, I'd be amiss if I didn't talk about one more." "Who is it, Paul?" He said, "A young preacher by the name of Luke." Luke. "Well, Paul, what do you love about him?" Paul would say, "Well, Joe, when I came down to the last leg of my journey, I found myself in a cold, dark, damp, rat-infested, disease-infested Mamertine prison." And he said, "Brother Joe, I'll just be honest with you." He said, "My first answer, I looked around and I said, it's in vain. Nobody stood with me." He said, "Joe, that was just my first answer." I want to stop and say, Brother Paul is not the only one that's been wrong in his first answer. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God is gracious? And He don't always pay attention to our first answer. Anybody besides me and Paul been wrong? Your first answer? He looked around and he said, "Nobody cares. Nobody, all men forsook me." He said, "But I looked up in that dim lit cell. And sitting over there in the corner was old brother Luke." And Paul said, "You know what he was? A doctor." "You're kidding. Paul, you had your own personal physician?" I just want to say this. If you've got your own physician that travels with you, you big time. Yes. "Well, I got sick the other day and called my doctor." He said, "Man, I'm booked up for 6 months." I said, "Forget it, I'll be dead." And I told my wife, "If I die, put it on my tombstone. Don't call him. He's too busy." Here Paul is with infirmity. He's sick. He's on his last leg. He's tired physically. Broken down. Oh man. But when he needed somebody, and when he needed him the most, God put a Luke in his life that was exactly what he needed. I'm telling you, God knows what I need, and he knows what you need, and when you need it, how you need it, and what you need it. God, I'll put it there. He's a sovereign God. Woo! And he makes no mistakes. That was Luke. Got to watch the homegoing of Brother Paul. Got to hear him say, I fought a good fight. Finished. How many of you know that didn't do that? Finished my course. And he said, boy, I've kept the faith. And old Luke got to stand there with him, and he said, look a younger boy. Look at there. There's laid up for me.
Yes, amen.
A crown of righteousness. Yes. Luke, it pays to serve God, boy.
Amen.
One of these days, I'm going to take the cross and the course and the conflict, and I'm going to trade it for a crown. But I got to tell you this, it ain't for me only. It's for everybody that loves His appearing. Woo! Amen. That blesses a far out of me.
Yes,
you said, well, let me ask you this real quickly, Brother Joe. Does it pay to really bring somebody on their journey? Ask Luke. You said, well, how'd that turn out for him? Well, let's have a little Bible study. First four books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Same dude. Who told us about the thief on the cross getting saved? Luke. Who told us he was a friend of sinners? Luke. Who told us that he'll rise at midnight and give you bread? Luke. Who told us about the Good Samaritan? Somebody that comes by. Hey, he let Luke tell us about the Son of Man who was the Son of God that loved the sons of men, that made the sons of men sons of God. Yeah! Worked out pretty good, didn't it? You say, well, I'm really not convinced. Okay, Bible study number two. First five books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Guess who gave us Acts? Luke. Who do we read about in Luke? Or who do we read about in Acts? Paul. What do we read about Paul? How he got saved? Luke got to introduce to the whole world Paul. God let him tell about being saved and getting called to preach. I'm telling you, somewhere up in heaven, Luke is clipping coupons. How would you like to be in heaven clipping coupons on Paul? And every church in this country, every Christian denomination church in this country can trace their roots all the way back to a man named Paul who got on a boat and sailed from Jerusalem to Asia Minor, and God started something, and it went to England, and one day it came to America, and one day it came to Bowdoin, Georgia, and I'm praying it to get over into Alabama someday, and I'm just telling you, God is great, and God is good. I'm telling you, it pays to bring somebody on their journey, because you get to go too. You will not be left out. That you may bring me upon my journey. Let me close with this tonight. You say, preacher, I'm here tonight and I don't have anybody. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares if I live in that. Now listen, you're wrong. That's your first answer. But for the sake of argument, I'll agree with you, okay? Nobody on earth cares at all. I'll agree with you. You're wrong, but for the sake of argument, I'm going to agree with you. You're right. But when you take your last step and get to your heavenly journey, you'll look up in the face of one. And I believe you'll say something like this. You brought me on my journey.
Yes, sir.
You and I believe we're going to do the first 1,000,000 years in heaven. Thank you for bringing me on my journey. Thank you for bringing me on my journey. You're not alone tonight. You're not forsaken tonight. You're not abandoned tonight. God's going to put people in your life if you'll let them. Take you by the heart and hand. Not push. Not pull. But to bring me upon my journey. Invest in someone's life tonight. And you'll get to go with them. And one day there'll be somebody for you. Just like you've been there for somebody. That you may bring me on my journey. Let's stand together. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ. And Lord, there's times the valleys are deep, the rivers are wide, the mountains are high. And we wonder how we're going to make it. And then, Lord, you put people in our life to bring us upon our journey. God, may we go down memories lane tonight and thank you for everyone that's had a part in our life. And Lord, help us to leave this place tonight determined that we're going to go be a blessing to somebody like somebody's been to us. Lord, there's young converts that need somebody. There's hurting believers tonight, Lord, that need somebody. There's discouraged preachers tonight that need somebody. And Lord, there are some old saints about to cross the river. They need somebody. So help us tonight, Lord, invest in others that we may bring them on their journey. And we'll give you praise tonight. We'll give you glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. Pastor, you come take charge of the service if you will.